Hello, welcome to Workplace Wake Up. I'm Jen Shaw. Every week, I spend about 15 minutes covering key legal developments, introducing you to interesting guests, and providing some entertainment to start your workday. I hope you enjoy this week's episode. We're going to talk today about Form I-9s. And it's really interesting to me how this whole issue with immigration is a political issue, which we're not going to get into, obviously. But from an employment law perspective, it really tends to come sort of in waves. And for some reason, the last couple of weeks, we've had a number of clients who've called about Form I-9 issues, some of whom were actually audited by the federal enforcement folks at ICE and USCIS, the United States Customs and Immigration Services. And I want to talk about I-9s. Now, we have a lawyer in our firm, Megan Donahue. Some of you know her. She's fantastic. And she is our I-9 guru. She is going to be having a really important webinar on this topic. So you should go onto our website and register for it. She's really great at explaining all of this. But I wanted to talk about it on the podcast today because I think there are a few little pointers that I can give you that I think could really help. So, for all of you who are wondering, what is a Form I-9? This is the form that the employer fills out when a new employee starts work to prove they have the right, the entitlement to work in the United States. Now, do not confuse that with citizenship, right? It's not about being a citizen. It's about whether somebody is authorized to work in this country. And there is a whole process that the federal government has set up where you get certain pieces of documentation from the employee to establish two things: one, their identity, and the other, their entitlement to work in this country. Now, it sounds very straightforward. In fact, there is even a process that the federal government provides called E-Verify, which allows you to do all of this electronically. And there are a lot of reasons to use E-Verify. Megan will talk about them in detail, but it used to be that employers were a little nervous about using this online system because as part of it, you have to sign an agreement with the government and nobody wanted to do that. But honestly, the agreement isn't anything. It just says, you know, that you're going to use the system for appropriate purposes and you're going to submit appropriate documentation, et cetera. So if you're not using E-Verify, you might want to think about it, particularly because it is very helpful if you have remote employees who you need to perform the I-9 process with. There are very specific rules about how to do that remotely, and it's much easier if you're using E-Verify. So these I-9 forms are filled out and completed, and the first thing you have to think about is, okay, well, what do you do with them after you fill them out? The tendency of most of us is to put it in a personnel file. That's where everything else goes, right? That's where we put the W-4. That's where we put the application. That's where we put everything else. Here's the problem, though. If you are ever audited, which is not unusual these days at all, you don't want the federal government going through the entire personnel file of all of your employees and your former employees to figure out where that I-9 is. So what most employers do is they have the I-9 stored in a binder or electronically in a file so that if they are audited or they have to provide that information, it's at the fingertips, right? You're not actually having to go through a personnel file. So that's an important issue. There are all sorts of things that come up in terms of how long do you keep the document? How should you organize that binder or that file? And Megan will get into all that in the webinar. But you need to keep these documents, this Form I-9. Whether or not you keep the underlying documents is a separate issue. So if somebody shows you their passport, which would be actually both an identity document and a right to work document, because only citizens can get the passports. That is something that you might or might not keep. One of the reasons why a lot of employers are not keeping this information these days is because of identity theft. You have to be really careful now in terms of making sure that you don't have any documents in your files that if there's a data breach or someone steals your files, personal information of these employees is going to be revealed. And we're talking about social security numbers, birth dates. I mean, obviously, if you've taken a picture of someone's driver's license, that's where you're going to be, right? You're going to have all of this really personal, confidential information in your possession. And then if somebody takes it or it's breached electronically, you've got a problem. Now, here's the other thing you've got to know about Form I-9s. There will be mistakes, okay? So for example, somebody writes a date on the form that is incorrect, or you're doing an audit and you find out that somebody wrote the wrong information. There are very specific processes that you, and procedures that you have to follow to fix those errors. The United States Customs and Immigration Service agency, they have a handbook called the Employer Handbook that's available online, and they go through a lot of the options for you to fix errors. One of the things that Megan is so good at is she's very practical and pragmatic about how these errors should be fixed. And the goal is always for your files to be in order if you are audited. So what Megan talks about is, okay, you staple, for example, the old Form I-9 to the new Form I-9. Somebody has a name change. Somebody comes to you with a Social Security number that has been changed, which usually is not going to happen, but you have to be very careful about reading into that process. Well, why do they have a different Social Security number? There may be a number of different reasons. Maybe the first one was fraudulent. Maybe the second one is fraudulent. Maybe neither one of them are fraudulent, but there was some kind of error. Things do happen. So one of the things that you have to remember with the Form I-9 issue or process or procedure is that the first step is you're going through to establish that the person has that entitlement to work in the United States. But that's not the end of the issue, because you have to think about all of the related challenges that come with it. For example, you're supposed to be filling out that form within 3 days of them beginning work. Okay, if they come to work on Tuesday, right, you know you've got 3 days for them to fill that out. But what happens if you had them complete onboarding paperwork 2 weeks before their first day at work? And that onboarding paperwork doesn't include the Form I-9. Why? Because you need someone to look at the underlying documents. So you have them do general onboarding information, like fill out your emergency contact information, fill out your W-4 for taxes. We want you to make your benefit designations, make sure you pick your insurance, or if you have a cafeteria plan, you let them go through and decide what they're going to choose for all of their benefits, how they're going to spend their money, right? The problem is you're now going to be out of compliance with the I-9 because it's more than 3 days since they started working. Because remember, if you're having people do onboarding documents for you, the Fair Labor Standards Act and state law says that's working time. They're doing that for your benefit, right? And if you ask employers, they'll even admit that. They'll say, oh, well, sure, I wanted them to do that in advance because that'll save us time on the first day of work. When we're actually sitting down to do the orientation, I don't want to waste time with all this other nonsense. So I want to get it done. And if I get it done a couple of weeks before, then I know I've got everything processed, or even 5 days before, and we're all ready to go. Doesn't work that way. So when you're talking about the Form I-9, it sounds like a very simple compliance issue. It sounds like it's just something where you read the instructions. By the way, there's a whole instruction sheet that comes with the form if you've never filled these out. But because of the challenges that are associated with the process, you need to have someone internally who understands how it works. And preferably a couple of people, in case someone leaves and someone else needs to be trained. You really need someone who's got the expertise in this area. It doesn't mean it has to be a lawyer or anything like that. You just need someone on your team internally who knows, okay, this is how we complete the form. This is the timing. This is how we should store it. This is how we fix mistakes. This is when we can get rid of it, right? Because you might have a document destruction policy, right, that would have you destroy documents before you can destroy the I-9. So you have to be really careful about how you're managing this whole compliance process for the Forms I-9. So really important, number one, that you have someone in the organization who understands it. There are lots of ways for people to learn. They can join Megan at the webinar. They can read up in that employer handbook that the USCIS has posted on their website. There are a lot of different options, but you need at least one person who knows what they're doing. Secondly, that person needs to be organized, right? Or that team needs to be organized. So you're really ready to respond when you have a situation where there is a government agency wanting to look at your records, right? So you have either an audit or you may even have a lawyer who has contacted you. Now, what you need to understand about this is certain industries are more likely to be audited. Agriculture, more likely to be audited. Garment manufacturing, more likely to be audited. Because large manufacturing facilities, more likely to be audited. Because the way the federal government looks at it, those are places where you might be more likely to have hired folks who are undocumented. Fast food is another one. That doesn't mean if you work in an office, there won't be an audit, but you're less likely to be subject to a review if you're in one of these other industries. So you do want to assess your risk. By the way, in speaking about risk, you should know that the penalties for noncompliance with the Forms I-9 are huge. It can be upwards of $1,200 for each one that is a violation. You start thinking about all of your current employees and a certain group of your former employees, depending on when they left. You could have a huge amount of penalties. And the government isn't interested in negotiating or compromising. For the most part, you're going to be subject to penalties, and it is what it is. So the other thing is, of course, once you are on their radar for having I-9 issues, they're going to come back. And sometimes the I-9 or audit turns into an FLSA audit, a Fair Labor Standards Act audit, or an independent contractor audit, none of which you want to have to go through. So for something that seems so simple, oh, I just need to establish that this employee has the right to work in this country. For something that seems so simple, there are a lot of pitfalls. There are a lot of mistakes that you can make and a lot of things that you want to think about when you're talking about your I-9 process. The last thing I want to add here is that a lot of people think they understand what's going on with the Form I-9, but they haven't kept up on the rules. And there are new forms that come out. We just had a new form that came out at the beginning of the year. New forms come out, new instructions come out, new regulations come out. That individual or team of people who are managing this process for you internally, they really need to stay on top of things. And it's one of those situations where you need an employee who is really willing to dig deep and understand the importance of their role when they're doing this job and why they've got to really take ownership of the entire process. It doesn't mean they won't have questions. It doesn't mean they won't have to ask people to partner with them on certain situations. But you really need someone in this role who is understanding, look, things change all the time. I've got to be on the email list for the USCIS. I've got to regularly go to the website to see what's going on. Different states now have rules about E-Verify, that process that I mentioned earlier, in terms of the electronic confirmation of the I-9s. So there are a lot of different issues that can come up with this process. But here's the good news, you guys. Once you get this in order, once you have your process, you know what you're doing, you've got everything figured out, you may want to do an audit to make sure you identify any challenges or any opportunity areas you have. Once you've done that, then you just are going to operate according to your protocols, right? It's going to be a very simple process once you've got everything in order. But if you're one of those organizations that may not have been following the rules or maybe doesn't know if you're in compliance, you really want to take some steps to do a self-audit, make sure you're educating yourself, and don't forget to sign up for Megan's webinar. It really is just chock full of great information. So everyone, you can do this. I know it's hard, but we can do hard things. Just put this Form I-9 on your list for this year and make sure you get this process in order. Thank you so much for joining me today, everyone. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time. Workplace Wake Up, including our guests and hosts, do not provide legal advice in this podcast. Do not act upon any of the information discussed in this podcast without first consulting a licensed attorney in your jurisdiction. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to spread the word, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and/or rate and review it. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, and email us at info@shawlawgroup.com.